Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, a hearty welcome to all our listeners to the program, Socially Speaking. And yes, I'm looking forward to being with you, inshallah, for the next hour. First up, as you all know by now, Monday morning focus. We're currently doing The Ideal Muslimah, which is a book, alhamdulillah, that I've been sharing with you for a while now. It's written by Dr. Muhammad Ali Al-Hashimi. Yes, and we are currently on the chapter, The Muslim Woman and Her Community and Her Society. So basically, it tells us how, as Muslim women, we should be living our lives as Muslim, as true Muslim women, alhamdulillah. Now, today we'll be looking at the Muslim woman and how she should be fair in her judgment, very important to all of us, and she does not oppress or mistreat others. I think that's also very, very important to us as Muslim women. Then, inshallah, a little later in the program, that's in the second slot, we'll be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal. And once again, we'll be speaking to Mawlana Mohammed Vinka. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking to Mawlana about the current water crisis. Of course, a very pertinent topic. And yes, many of us are making so much of dua, alhamdulillah, for rain. And we should continue making dua and, of course, making istighfar, inshallah. Okay, let's come back to our program. It's our Monday morning focus, and we're looking at the ideal Muslimah. Today we're looking at a Muslim woman should be fair in her judgment. We start off with that. Now, it is said that a Muslim woman may be put in a position where she is required to form an opinion or a judgment on some person or matter. It happens. Many a time we are put into a situation where we have to either give our opinion or we need to make a judgment. Now, this is where her faith, her common sense and her taqwa will reveal themselves. Our faith, how do we as true Muslims behave in situations like this? And this is something we need to know at all stages in our lives. The true Muslim woman should judge fairly. She must never be unjust, biased, or influenced by her own whims, no matter what the circumstances. So no matter what, in what situation we are, or in what, what the circumstances may be, when we are asked to judge, we need to be absolutely fair in what we are doing. Simple things like judging a competition, we need to be as absolutely fair as possible, as we possibly can be. If we have to judge any situation for that matter, we must never be unjust. Never ever be unjust. And we should never be favoring one person over another. So we need to be we need to be absolutely true in what we are saying. If you have decided on something, if you have decided this is what I'm going to be deciding on a particular matter, then we need to be absolutely true in that. Okay, now the reason we have to be like this is because we as Muslim women should understand from the teachings of Islam that being just and avoiding unfairness are at the very heart of our faith, as stated by clear and unambiguous texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, and also expressed in commandments that leave no room for error. We cannot, at any case, be unjust in any way. In the Quran, in chapter 4, verse 58, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah does command you to render back your trust to whom they are due, and when you judge between man and man, that you judge with justice. So, Allah Ta'ala says this in the Holy Quran. Justice as known by the Muslim and the Islamic society is absolute and pure justice. It is not influenced by friendship, by hatred, or by blood ties. Yeah, I think this is also very important for us to remember. Just because he's my friend or she's my friend, we're going to, you know, we pull sides with that person. No. Friendship, or because I hate this person or I don't like this person, I'm not going to allow that person to get this job. No. And of course, blood ties. Very important. We need to be absolutely never be influenced by these three things, by friendship, by hatred, or by blood ties. So if you need to be absolutely honest in your judgment, and absolutely truthful. Again, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 5, verse 8, O you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealing, and do not let the hatred of others to you make you swerve to wrong and depart from justice. Be just, that is next to piety, and fear Allah, for Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. Also in chapter 6, verse 152, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever you speak, speak justly, even if a near relative is concerned. So, you know, we should be fearing nobody or nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you intercede concerning one of the punishments of decree by Allah, O Usama? By Allah, even if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, had committed theft, I would have cut off her hand. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So even if his daughter had done something, you know, for that matter, had committed theft, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have had her hand cut off. This is absolute universal justice, which is applied to great and small, prince and commoner. So no matter who you are, you need to be absolutely, you know, just in what you decide. Muslims and non-Muslims, none can escape its grasp, and this is what differentiates justice in Islamic societies from justice in other societies. So we should remember, as Muslims, you know, no way can we take the wrong path. We need to be true in every possible way. Now, history records the impressive story that earns the respect of the institutions of justice throughout the world and at all times. The Khalifa, or the Khalif, Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, stood side by side in court with his Jewish opponent, who had stolen his shield, on equal terms. The Qadi, or that's the judge, Shurey, did not let his great respect for the Khalifa prevent him from asking him to produce evidence that the Jew had stolen his shield. When the Khalifa could not produce such evidence, the judge or the Qadi ruled in favor of the Jew. So when you say something, then you need to have, you know, when you are accusing somebody of something too, you need to be absolutely certain. You must have proof that what you saying is the truth. Now, in this case, Ali radiallahu anhu did not have evidence, so the Qadi, that is the Jew, ruled in favor of the Jew and against Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Now, Islamic history is full of such examples which indicate the extent to which truth and justice prevail in the Muslim society. So this is something that we need to be aware of at all times. Therefore, the Muslim woman who truly adheres to the teachings of her religion is just in word and in deed, and this attitude of hers is reinforced by the fact that truth and justice are an ancient part of her heritage and fairness. And of course, fairness is a sacred part of our belief. So we need to be fair at all, in every circumstance, you know, our words and our deeds must be just, and our attitude, you know, must be true in every sense of the word. So this is something that we as parents, and especially mothers, should be, you know, teaching our children from a very young age, so that when they grow up with these important, you know, characters, a character. We have to teach them and nurture them so that they have this in them when they grow up. It's you know, it's part of you. It's part of you being a Muslim. These are things that we as Muslims should just have within us. We cannot in any way not have these things, these characters in us. Alhamdulillah. Another important one that we're going to be discussing now is that a Muslim woman does not oppress or mistreat others. Very important too. To the extent that the Muslim woman is keen to adhere to justice in all her words and her deeds, she also avoids oppression, that is zulm. For oppression is darkness in which male and female oppressors will become lost, as the Prophet ﷺ explained. Zulm, or oppression as we know it, is something that as Muslims we should not even come close to. Rasulullah ﷺ says, keep away from oppression, for oppression is darkness on the day of resurrection. Now, this hadith al-Qudsi definitely and eloquently expresses Allah's prohibition of oppression in a way that leaves no room for doubt. This is the one that I'm going to share with you now. It says, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself and have made it forbidden amongst you, so do not oppress one another. What is this that we need to know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his servants that he himself, for himself he has forbidden oppression. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden it for himself, then who are we, you know, ordinary human beings, to oppress others? Who do we think we are? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not in any way oppress anyone of his servants. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sovereign, the most holy, the exalted in might, the omnipotent, the almighty, may he be glorified, if he has forbidden oppression for himself and forbidden it for his servants, does it then befit his weak mortal servant to commit the sin of oppression against his human brother? We are so weak, we are so nothing, you know, and we want to oppress other people? This is not allowed in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ forbade Muslim men and women to commit the sin of oppression against their brothers and sisters in faith, no matter what the motives, the reasons, or the circumstances might be. We have no right to oppress another person. It is unimaginable that a Muslim who is adhering to the strong bonds of brotherhood could commit such a sin. A Muslim, if you say you are a Muslim, then you would never oppress another person. A Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. He does not oppress him or forsake him when he is oppressed. Whoever helps his brother, Allah will help him. Whoever relieves his brother from some distress, Allah will relieve him of some of his distresses on the day of resurrection. Whoever covers the fault of a Muslim, Allah will cover his faults on the day of resurrection. This is something we need to always remember, and we must always go out of our way to try not go out there and expose our Muslim brothers and sisters, you know, come out, oh, he did this and she did that. That is not how Muslims should behave. The Muslim, or rather the Prophet ﷺ, did not stop at forbidding oppression against another Muslim man or woman. He also forbade Muslims to forsake a brother in faith who was being oppressed, because this act of forsaking an oppressed brother is in itself a terrible form of oppression. He encouraged Muslims to take care of their brothers, of their brothers' needs, to ease their suffering and to conceal their faults, as if indicating that the neglect of these virtues constitutes oppression, failure and injustice with regard to the ties of brotherhood that bind the Muslim and his brother. Now, we have shared with you some of the texts that enjoin absolute justice, which cannot be influenced by love, hatred, bias, or ties of blood. And other texts that forbid absolute injustice. This means that justice is to be applied to all people, and that injustice to any people is to be avoided, even, and I think this is important, even if the people concerned are not Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands justice and good treatment to all and forbids oppression and wrongdoing to all. So, you know, it's not only towards Muslims that we need to be, you know, we need to be just, make sure that we are just to only Muslims, and we must not only oppress our Muslim brothers and sisters. No, to all, even non-Muslims. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 60, verse 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah forbids you not with regard to those who fight you not for your faith, nor drive you out of your homes from dealing kindly and justly with them. For Allah loves those who are just. Allah loves us. If you are just, Allah loves you. If you do not oppress, Allah will love you. So these are some important points for us as women to always remember, and I think very important for us as mothers to instill and inculcate into our very young children, inshallah, so that they grow up to be true and pious Muslims in every possible way. Allah Ta'ala guide us all, inshallah. Inshallah, that's all I have for you today with regards to our Monday morning focus. Inshallah, we'll be back next week with more. When we return, we'll be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal. And today, inshallah, we're speaking to Mulana Muhammad Venka on the current water crisis, a very pertinent topic. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zinat. And alhamdulillah, joining me online today is Mulana Muhammad Venka from KwaZulu-Natal. As I've mentioned earlier, our topic of discussion today is the current water crisis, a very pertinent issue affecting us all. Now, as we all know, of course, our country, and especially certain areas in the country, is experiencing severe droughts as the reality of the full-blown drought settles in across much of the country. Attention has turned to what can be done to save the damage. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining me this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Sister Zinat, and salamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Barakallahu feekum once again.
Alaikum salam. Mulana, now, just to start off the program, I understand there is, some rain in the Durban area, alhamdulillah. Would you say this has lightened the condition a little, or, not really?
Yes, with regards to rain, the last few days, alhamdulillah, through the grace of the Almighty Allah, the skies have opened up, and it has rained. Of course, we cannot say it is sufficient. We need to be grateful to the Almighty Allah for whatever little rain He sends down from the heavens. So yesterday it rained quite a lot, alhamdulillah, in Durban, and the last week also, for a few days there was rain that had come down, but just unfortunately it is not sufficient, to alleviate you know, the problem, because in some parts of KwaZulu-Natal, you know, we have read reports, some places we have seen, you know, where animals have died and people are living in abject poverty, especially in the smaller towns, in the northern Natal, smaller towns where people are going through great difficulty. Mm-hmm. And if you look at water, water is a great ni'mah from the side of Allah. You know, electricity, we can do without it to a certain extent. But when it comes to water, you need water to live. You cannot survive without water. You know, whether it is for wudu, for, you know, for cooking, whatever it is. So water is a great essential, and this is a great ni'mah from this, from the bounty of Allah, from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You know, but like I always say, that the only time we appreciate a bounty and a ni'mah is the day it is snatched and taken away from us.
Mm. Well, alhamdulillah, Mulana. Now, with regards, you know, the drought and, of course, saving of water, Islam, of course, does emphasize for us to save water, or, you know, to use water sparingly at all times, you know, not only during the drought season or drought situation that we are experiencing right now. Why is this so?
Yes, you know, when we look in, within the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what the fuqaha have explained, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you're making wudu by a flowing stream, by a river, even then you should not be you should not waste water, you should not be extravagant. You know, you should utilize water, you know, to the need that you you know, to you should just do a proper wudu and not beyond that. Unfortunately, this is a problem that we find. You know, we see in most of our masajid, people are making wudu, and people take sometimes 5 minutes, 10 minutes to make wudu. When we study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make wudu with approximately, the fuqaha have written, for our understanding, approximately 775 milliliters of water. He used to make a complete wudu. Now let us ask ourselves, is that, you know, how much of water do we use, you know, when you make wudu? So Nabi alayhi salam said, even if you are by a running stream or by a river, even at that time you should not be extravagant. You know, to wash the limbs of wudu, to wash it once, it is farz. To wash it three times, it is sunnah. But to wash it more than three times for no valid reason, then that will be considered to be israf. And Allah says, in Allah, Allah does not love those who are extravagant. Allah does not love those who waste. You know, we take it for granted in our homes, you know, the washing machine, our children go into the shower, and some of them, they spend 30 minutes, 45 minutes. So we need to bring this discipline into our lives. You know, we need to bring this discipline into our lives. You know, really, we are facing, you know, we take it for granted. We open the tap, the water comes out, we take it for granted. But kilometers, not too far from where many of us are living, there are people who are suffering in abject poverty. I know some towns in KwaZulu-Natal, you know, where they have access to water approximately 2 hours every day. Some of them have access to water 3 hours every day, and we take it for granted. So we need to appreciate this bounty. We need to appreciate this great ni'mah from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But coupled with that, you know, when we look within the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about drought quite extensively. Is when certain sins become prevalent in this world, Allah will inflict that nation with severe drought. And we see it happening, you know, in this country. We have heard of droughts in different countries that where animals will start suffering. And these are the consequences of the actions of man. And Allah in the Quran very beautifully speaks that Allah will not change the condition of a nation until they decide to change themselves. So we need to make a concerted effort. Let us see, number one, how we can conserve water. You know, we can use water sparingly. Do not waste water. You're washing the car 2 times every day. You're taking a shower, some of us, 3 times a day. So we need to start conserving water. Let us not be extravagant. You know, let us be grateful to what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us.
Alhamdulillah. With regards, you know, some of the causes of the drought, of drought really, they mention that committing sins willfully, cheating and deceiving others, not paying zakat, you know, zina or adultery becomes rife in the communities. Well, this is something, like you say, Mulana, that has become so common, you know, that, common in our communities. We see it, we hear it, and we just, you know, brush it aside. Perhaps, Mulana, you could just elaborate a little on that, if you don't mind.
Okay. When we look into the ahadith of the alayhi wa sallam, the famous hadith wherein the Nabi of Allah said, إِذَا فَعَلَتْ أُمَّتِي خَمْسَةَ عَشْرَةَ خَصْلَةٍ حَلَّ بِهَا الْبَلَاءُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ, that when my ummah will do 15 things, Allah will make azab halal upon my ummah. When my ummah will get involved in 15 crimes, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will unleash his punishment, his azab, in various different ways. You know, we have heard of droughts in other countries. You know, we hear about it. You know, we turn a deaf ear, we take it for granted. We heard about catastrophes and calamities in different parts of the world. We read about it, we see it on the news, we become emotionally overpowered. Moments later, we go back to our old, own ways. But here we are facing a situation and a problem where you open the tap, you don't find water. You realize you get up in the morning, there's only water for 2 hours. You read reports that the water that I am getting from this particular dam, there's only water left for the next 20 days. So this is beginning to affect each and every one of us. You know, sometimes you're going on a holiday, the first thing we do, we look at the weather forecast. You know, you're going on holiday tomorrow, we look at the weather forecast. Now, if you see that there is going to be a potential downpour, there's going to be rain, what happens? We all go into a somber mood. We go into a somber mood. We all become upset because my holiday is going to get spoiled. But we find that today we are looking forward to the rains coming down. Even a person, we're not speaking of those who are religious, even the irreligious, when the clouds had opened, Allah Ta'ala opened up the skies and the rains came down, every one of them said, Alhamdulillah, at least Allah is showering upon us, you know, this bounty. Now, when we look at the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rain is such a bounty. You cannot say, you know what, we are living in this world, let us try and do this, let us try and do that, let us improve the facilities, and then we can improve the standards of people. You know, when it comes to housing, when it comes to roads, when it comes to this and it comes to that. When it comes to water, you can do what you want. Water comes from the side, from the heavens. How many people, they had boreholes? The boreholes have run dry. So this is from the side of Allah. One great lesson that we take from this current crisis is that we need to go back to Allah. We need to go back to Allah. The focus of our life has to be Allah. We need to start engaging in tawbah, engage in a lot of istighfar. Yumdidukum bi amwali wa baneen. Allah says, you make istighfar, you make tawbah. Allah says, I will send down rains from the heavens. In various places in the Quran, Allah speaks about this bounty of water. Allah speaks about rains that come down from the heavens. That when rains do not come down, like we see today, we spoke about earlier, that even animals begin to suffer. So nonetheless, Nabi alayhi salam in this hadith, time does not permit us to look at all 15 categories, you know, those individuals who perpetrate these crimes, you know, that caused the punishment of Allah to come down. I thought maybe we highlight one or two, perhaps three of them, so that we can take lessons, and this is something that applies to each and every one of us, that each and every one of us can relate to. Number one, Nabi alayhi salam said, when people consider zakah to be a tax, when people consider zakah to be a tax, how many people I know personally, they do not discharge zakah, that zakah is a tax. How can I take money? My money is going to increase. That 2.5% does not belong to you. It belongs to Allah. I always say, when that poor man is knocking on your door and he's asking you for something, Allah is providing you with an added opportunity to avert and divert calamities. You know, today people speak about insurance and outsurance and cut off the middleman and lower premiums, whatever have you. Wallahi, this is a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful means Allah has given us, that discharge your zakah, Allah will send down rains from the heavens. You know, one great scholar, one great alim, Mullah Badr Alam, may Allah fill his qabr with nur, who's buried in Medina Munawwara, in Jannatul Baqi, he mentioned years ago, he said that the South African Ummah, Alhamdulillah, it is because of the charity that they give, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is divinely protecting this country. However, at that time he had mentioned, he said, when this nation, when the Muslims in this country will begin to perpetrate certain crimes, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will unleash his punishment. We look at our weddings that we have today, the amount of extravagance that goes on, the amount of wastage in our homes. Really, it's a sad reality. You know, you go to a wedding and the millions of rands that are squandered, you know, perhaps for 1 or 2 hours, people will eat that meal, they will walk out moaning and groaning. They will go to a wedding next week that will be better than yours. What have you really achieved? that money that you take, have simple functions, live simple. If Allah has given you the means, use it within reason. Do not be extravagant. One of the other reasons that the ulama have written that these conditions are coming down upon us is because of the extravagance of many, many Muslims. I mean, we do not want to be judgmental, but we look at some of the functions that are held, the amount of monies that are spent and wasted, you know, perhaps for 2 or 3 hours. Mm. So the first reason we learn from the hadith is that when people will stop discharging their zakah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will withhold, you know, this great na'mah, this great bounty of water and rains. That's number one. Number two, when we look in the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam, the famous hadith that ma min qawmin yadharu fihim al-zina illa ukhidhu bis-sala, that nation will get involved in zina, in fornication, in adultery. This is a sin that has become so common in this world. Nabi alayhi salam said, such a nation, Allah will grip that nation with poverty. Such a nation would be gripped with poverty. Allah would hold the reins. So these are, you know, things that we need to reflect and ponder over. We are not being judgmental, but I think at times we need to set record straight. Every one of us, let us look at our individual lives. How can I improve my life in some way or the other? So what did Nabi alayhi salam say? Whether it is zakah, when people stop discharging the zakah, Nabi alayhi salam said, when people get involved, in zina, in fornication, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will shower his punishment, you know, upon this ummah. Number three, we learn from the hadith, adana sadiqa wa aqsa aba, that people will respect social friends and they will disobey and they will disrespect their parents. Has the sin not become so common in this world? You know, people disobey their parents, respect towards parents, the elders of society. This has become absent in the lives of so many youngsters. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the zaharatil aswatu fil masajid, that people will begin to raise their voices in the masajid. We take it for granted, but we don't realize it. The repercussions and the consequences of our crimes and our sins will affect those around us. How do we understand that? We look into the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam, like the ulama have written so beautifully, that one person who does not have salah in his life, such a person has an effect on 160 homes around him. One woman has that potential of taking four men with her to the fire of Jahannam. So one might think to themselves, if an individual crime, that individual is perpetrating and committing that crime, why would it affect those around him? This is the system of Allah. The actions that come down are dependent on the actions of man. The conditions that come down into this dunya are dependent on the actions of man. So we need to introspect, we need to look within our lives. You know, am I doing something wrong in my life? Make an effort, make a concerted effort to change my life in some way or the other. And then we will find that the condition is changing. Because really the entire world is in turmoil today. You know, we look what has happened in Paris in the recent past, 2 days ago. Fingers are being pointed towards Muslims. You know, the time has come that we need to reflect the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When negative sentiments are being echoed against Muslims globally across the globe, especially as those who are living a life, you know, of sunnah, those who are trying to get closer to Allah, and you're bombarded with these comments and people label you as this or label you as that, all the more reason it is for us to reflect a beautiful image. There was one person in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, his name was Safwan bin Umayyah. One day Nabi alayhi salam was herding a flock of goats and sheep in a certain direction, and this person had seen this flock of goats and sheep. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him. He said, you like what you see? He said, of course I like what I see. Nabi alayhi salam said, if you like it, take it and go. I mean, a beautiful car. Somebody looks at your car. What do you tell the man? The closest you can get to my car is look at it. Let them drive it. Nabi alayhi salam told this man, if you like this sheep and this goat, take it and go. He becomes so impressed on the grounds of this generosity. He went back to his nation and he said, oh people, accept Islam. I promise you, this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not come to take away your money, he has come to give you money. So we need to change our lives. Let us portray that image. You know, Allah be my witness. Those outside, those who do not have Iman and Islam, they do not look at your salah. They do not look at, those things that are confined to your homes. What they look at is your akhlaq, is your character, how you conduct yourself in your business. We spoke about it last week with your domestic servants. How do we treat them? Do we respect them? Do we give them what is their rights, etc.? So these are the things that, you know, unfortunately, you know, have manifested themselves. And as we draw closer to the day of Qiyamah, we find that the spiritual, when we look at our life from a spiritual dimension, you know, we need to look at our lives, each and every one of us, and look at the barometer of our iman. What is the condition of our lives? What is my attachment with Allah? What is my attachment with the Quran? What is my attachment to the deen of Allah? And that is it. That will give us a beautiful reflection, and then we can understand that the conditions that come down are dependent on our actions.
Alhamdulillah. Well, one thing is for sure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, and it is very important for us to make lots of istighfar, you know, as much as we possibly can. Inshallah, Allah will protect us and guide us. Maulana, you know, I know in many areas of the country, countries, alhamdulillah, prayer for rains have been held, alhamdulillah, the Salatul Istighfar. How important is the Salah and how beneficial is it?
Yes, absolutely, alhamdulillah. We find that in the greater Johannesburg area, I believe last week, in approximately 30 places, you know, Salatul Istighfar was held. Of course, there are certain conditions that the Fuqaha have written with regards to when the Salah should be performed. You know, when there's famine, there's drought, and these people in that particular locality, in that particular area, are suffering, where there's no water, there's no rains that are coming down. Indeed, when we go to Medina Munawwara today, there is a masjid that people normally go past, which is called Masjid al-Ghamama. That is in Medina Munawwara, not too far from Masjid al-Nabawi. According to the narrations, that is where the Nabi of Allah performed Salatul Istisqa on numerous occasions. When there was shortage of water in Medina, Nabi alayhi salam went, and that is where he had performed the Salatul Istisqa. So this was a salah that featured quite extensively in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So indeed, you know, if there are no rains that have come down, you know, there's a shortage of water, people are going through great difficulty, where animals are dying. So this is a wonderful prescription, a formula that has been given to us by Sharia, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for us to perform the Salatul Istisqa. So alhamdulillah, those towns that it was held, I have heard comments that Salatul Istisqa is being performed. The conditions are not changing. Let us not become despondent. Unfortunately today, as Muslims, we become despondent in the mercy of Allah. You know, we're trying to do all this good, but at the same time, we find that the conditions are not changing. Allah alone knows. Allah knows what the conditions that are coming down. We need to continue doing good. When Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah to destroy Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam was Kareemullah. His dua was accepted immediately. But the dua of Musa alayhi salam had manifested itself only 40 years later. Only 40 years later. So Allah will accept our dua. Most definitely, let us not become despondent in the mercy of Allah. Another very important aspect that comes to mind, amongst those 15 things that Nabi alayhi salam said, you know, when this ummah will get involved in these crimes, amongst those Nabi alayhi salam said, is that when singing and music will become common in this world. How common hasn't music become in our homes, in the life of youngsters? How many of them are walking on the streets with those earphones for their ears, listening to music, driving those fast cars? That tree that you got hanging on your rear view mirror is vibrating because of the music blasting. So these are amongst those crimes and sins that are manifested in the youth of this ummah. And then Nabi alayhi salam said, Sharibatil khumur. The people will drink wine, people will drink intoxicants, people will get involved in so much of haram. The ulama have extended on this hadith, you know, drugs, liquor, alcohol, wine. Hasn't this become common? It has not become common in this world. Allah forbid, these things have become common in the lives of Muslims. So it's time we reflect, we ponder, you know, and we introspect, we look within our lives, that these are the conditions that are coming down. Let us continue making dua. In some places, alhamdulillah, the rains are coming. Even today, this morning it was raining in certain parts of the country. But let us continue making dua, continue turning to the Almighty Allah. These are times wherein we need to look at our amal, look at our iman. Where am I falling short? Where can I improve the quality of my, you know, of my life? And how can I create a greater attachment with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala?
Alhamdulillah, and continue making istighfar. Maulana, just a question that's come in. Just for the benefit of the listeners, how is Salatul Istisqa performed and who can attend?
Yes, Salatul Istisqa, generally it is performed, like I'd mentioned, in that particular locality, you know, with a shortage of water, and when people are living in dire straits, then the entire community ideally should try and get together, give some charity. Of course, this is the men should go out, you know, ideally into the outskirts of the city in a, you know, give a lot of charity in a humble manner, making a lot of istighfar. That's the formula, to make a lot of istighfar, you know, to make a lot of tawbah. It's not the amount, not numbers of people that attend the Salatul Istisqa, but it's with the intention that we go give charity. Thereafter, you go to a particular, you know, area in the locality, and you read 2 rakats of salah. And after the salah, the imam will deliver a khutbah, like we find, you know, a khutbah is delivered on the day of Jumu'ah, or a khutbah is delivered 2 khutbahs on the day of Eid. And thereafter, the imam himself will stand, and, you know, he will face in the direction of the qibla, and he will make dua, and he will supplicate, and he will ask Allah. And those who are sitting in the congregation, you know, they will say Ameen, and they themselves will implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, Ameen. May Allah ta'ala accept everyone's duas. I'm sure there's everybody out there so certainly making lots of dua for rain. Continue doing that, and of course continue, you know, reading your istighfar, inshallah, in abundance.
Yes, absolutely. You know, what we can do in the confines of our home, let us, you know, we use water, but let us bring the usage down. You're taking a bath twice a day, make it once a day. You're washing your car twice a week, wash it once a week. You know, using the dishwasher or the washing machine, then instead of using it every day, use it every second day. At least in this way, let us contribute in some way or the other. You know, let us not take it for granted. I always said this, my opening comments were, the only time we appreciate a bounty in my life, I speak before you today, 40 years old. I mean, never in our lives did we appreciate water like we appreciate today. I think every person that is listening will agree and attest to what I am saying. You know, today we appreciate this great bounty. When you open the water, we become more conscious. Let us not open the tap full. Open little. You're making wudu. Wash 3 times. Don't wash 5, 7, 10, 12, 13 times. That is extravagance. So let us, inshallah, suffice with that which Nabi alayhi salam has taught us. So Allah ta'ala bless us. Allah ta'ala bless each and every one of us. And we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah ta'ala alleviate, you know, this problem that is suffering, that, you know, of those that are suffering. You know, they are Muslims, non-Muslims, people living in rural areas, you know, who do not have water. If Allah has granted us the means, you know, let me leave you. There was one person, you know, who was suffering with the ulcer on his knee. And he went to an pious scholar, and he said, is there anything that I can do? I've been to doctors, I've been to physicians. I cannot seem to get any cure from this problem. So this person told him, go to such a place and where people are living in abject poverty, dig a well, and make water available to those who do not have water. He said, I went to such a place, I dug a well. He said, the well was barely dug before any person could drink from that well. Allah cured me instantly and permanently. So this is a wonderful opportunity Allah has granted us. You know, let us make wells available, dig boreholes. We have access water. Let us share. Muslims and Muslims, you know, let us be of a source of benefit, inshallah, during the end time.
Inshallah, Ameen. And Jazakallahu Khair once again for a wonderful program, Maulana.
Barakallahu Fikum. Jazakallahu for the opportunity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. And that brings us to the end of our program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.